Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Hello, LifeLink Church. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing today? God is good. And all the time, well, it's my pleasure to be here today. I'm Pastor Larry Ejola. I'm one of the staff pastors here at LifeLink, and God has a word for you today. Is anybody excited here today? All right. Since Pastor Tom always introduces his wife, my wife, she normally sits down there. We're still married. Yeah. I have only one wife, and we've been married for about 19 years now. So, yeah, God is good, God is good, yeah. Just when you see her, tell her that I said good things about her, so I can get an extra piece of chicken for Father's Day lunch. God is awesome, amen. And I want to thank also, well, we have an awesome Bible teacher in this house and a spiritual father for us. Let's put our hands together for our lead pastor, Pastor David Wright. Thank you. Thank you for all you do, and also Pastor Cherie Wright too. Come on, let's put our hands together for Pastor Cherie. All right. So we are in our summer series called Happy. Somebody say Happy. And this is part 3 today, and the title of today's message is Those Who Mourn Are Happy. And the uniqueness of our summer series is that you get a 2-for-1. So you get two speakers or two preachers or two communicators for one. So I guess you want to know who the other speaker is going to be? I'm going to hide that from you for now. But you'll find out in due time. But God has a word to bless us with today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for we know that you're here. Your presence is just awesome in this building. Thank you for what you have in store for us. As we open the pages of the scriptures, open our eyes, open our understanding, that we may behold wondrous things from your word. Change our lives. Instruct our hearts. Let's leave here knowing that we have met with you. Thank you, O God, that all the blessing will be for us, your people, and all the glory will be unto your name. And the people of God say, amen. Amen. Those who mourn are happy. And our scripture is going to be coming from Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. The series was started by Pastor Dave and Pastor Abel, and then followed on last week by Pastor Tom and Pastor Leslie. They did an awesome job. Let's put our hands together for them. It's been awesome. And so we're going to do Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, blessed, or if I'm from the old church, blessed. Are those, or blessed, I'll just say blessed. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. If you just take those scriptures at face value, just for what it is, that makes no sense. You know, blessed are those who mourn. The word blessed, we talked about last week, come from the word Greek word makarios, which means happy. So can you imagine saying, happy are those who mourn? That really, you know, it's like Jesus was trying to get himself into trouble. You know, if you're talking to somebody and they say something like that, you're wondering, let's see how he's going to get himself out of this. You know, happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. But like all the Sermon on the Mount or all the Beatitudes, most of the messages or the things that Jesus said are paradoxical. They're like self-contradictory, so to say. It's like saying Jesus Christ came, or somebody come to you and say, rich are the poor, young are the old, skinny are the, keep on looking sideways, don't look at me. Yeah. So that's what it sounds like, that Jesus was saying, happy are those who mourn. But God has something to show us today. When God talks, when Jesus Christ was talking, the blessed statements of Jesus and the Beatitude, they're not just wishful thinking, they're not just hopes of Jesus Christ, but these are divine statements that he was making. These are divine statements of faith that he was making. God cannot lie. Bible tells us that God is not man that he should lie, not the son of man that he should repent of those things that he has said. That is the kind of God that we serve. Amen? So for us to get a fuller perspective of what Jesus Christ was actually saying, let's take a look at the word mourn. When he says somebody is mourning, for me, the word mourn, the first picture that comes to mind when I think about mourning was, I used to keep this black and white photograph of the funeral of my dad when he passed away. I kept it for so long, I think it was a couple of years ago that I actually got rid of it. It was me at 3 years of age standing near the casket of my dad when he passed away, and my mom was standing beside me. And this was me, 3 years old, and my mom, 29 years old. And then my baby brother was about 6 months old then, and she was almost like practically trying to fall into the, you know, into the grave where they were going to bury him, you know. And the expression on her face, you can imagine what it looked like. So that sense of grief, that sense of mourning, it's what comes to my mind when I think about mourning. I know today is Father's Day. So if you're here and you've experienced that kind of loss in your life, God is still a good, good father. Amen? Amen? He will take care of you. For the 3 years after that, I'm still here. And he's taking care of me. So don't feel anyhow at all. God takes care of his own. He's a father to the fatherless. So Jesus Christ was not just talking about the word mourning in that aspect of life. He was also talking about, he was trying to give us a sense. The context was that it's not exclusively about somebody, a loved one dying, but also associated with something else. Write this down. The word Jesus Christ used in the Greek for mourn also refers to the mourning that we should have over sin. Did you get that? The word Jesus used in the Greek for mourn also refers to the mourning that we should have over sin. But like, Pastor Larry, you're going to talk about sin in church? Oh, yes, I am. There's no other place to talk about sin. It's in the house of God. Because that's what it's all about. Jesus Christ is in the church. He is the deliverer from every kind of sin. Do you know what the angel told Mary when he was about to give birth to Jesus? He said, you will call his name Emmanuel because he will deliver his people from their sins. So if you need help with your sin, the deliverer is in the house. So this is the right place to talk about sin. Somebody say amen. Amen. So he said, the word Jesus used in the Greek for mourn also refers to mourning that we should have over sin. Last week, Pastor Tom and Pastor Leslie talked to us about being poor in spirit, being bankrupt in the spirit. So it's fitting, perfectly fitting that we're talking today about lamenting and grieving over sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. He was writing to a church. The church has really been misbehaving. They've been doing all kind of nonsense. And hear what he said. Apostle Paul said this. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans. That is, the kind of thing that we find out among you is not even reported outside of the church. For a man has his father's wife. All right, let's leave that alone. And on top of that, you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? That is the same Greek word for mourn that Jesus used in the Beatitudes. The same word. In other words, Jesus is saying, you haven't grieved over the situation as if somebody died. You know that what I was telling you about, the expression I saw on my mom's face? That kind of grieving over the situation that you're going through. You haven't gotten to that point where you'd be like, I shouldn't be doing this. You are a child of God in the house of God. But your conscience has not been seared. You are so been seared that you're committing sin and you don't even care. So he began to talk to them and talk to them in the next few chapters and instruct them that you cannot live like this. You cannot be in the house of God and be doing all this. Sexual immorality, all kind of sin. I don't know what yours is, but he said you can't do this in God's house. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, you guys are getting too quiet on me. See, just come next week. It's going to be good next week. Definitely not going to be me preaching, but it's going to be good next week. So just bear with me today. So he preached to them and he spoke to them and they began to have a change of heart. The church responded to what Apostle Paul told them. They responded properly to the situation. And then look at the benefits of this mourning or the godly sorrow. Things began to change in their lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, hear what he said. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Verse 11, see what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. He's saying this, I understand that you were made sorry. But look at all the things that mourning, having godly sorrows over all the things that you did that produced in you. You chose to change your ways. Change your ways. Not modify your ways. Change your ways. Change your ways. Totally change your ways. You understand what I'm saying? I was giving an example in the first service. Pastor Lacey has two kids. The little one, Emma and Nova. Nova is going to be one soon. So if Pastor Lacey says, Pastor James, please, Nova has just poo-pooed and her diaper is soiled. Please, can you kindly go and change Nova? And Pastor James takes Nova away and then brings Nova back in about 10 minutes and says, Nova is changed. But then there's still a whole lot of smell going on. And Pastor Lacey was like, what? Did you really change Nova? I said, yes, look, the diaper is clean and nice. But where's this whiff of smell coming from? He said, but she is changed. She looks clean and nice. Only to find out, he just put another diaper on top of the one that was there. So Nova wasn't changed. He modified the situation, but there was no change. That's what Jesus was saying. When you're talking about godly sorrow and mourning over things, you're not trying to modify where you are. It means take off the diaper, wipe off the bum bum, and then put a new diaper inside there. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. So in other words, you mourned, then you're comforted. The only way Nova will be comforted, Nova will be happy, Nova will be cheerful to play around is after her diaper is totally, completely changed. And then she will be happy to run around. Write this down. There is no lasting comfort without mourning. There is no lasting comfort without mourning. That's what Jesus is clearly saying. Those who allow mourning or godly sorrow to have its work in them will be comforted. Amen? Well, to continue this teaching, please help me welcome a very multi-talented and gifted member of the teaching team, Pastor Chris Peterson.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, Pastor Landry. As he said, I am Pastor Chris. So good to be with all of you here this morning. For those of you that don't know, I have an amazing wife. She's over here on the front row, my Winnie the Boo. Pastor Leslie, can we give it up for her? Yep. I would not be the man I am today without her. And anybody that knows me says amen. Well, this morning, as Pastor Landry said, we are talking about mourning. And really, in both contexts of the word mourning, they're equally as exciting, right? So how many of you in here are morning people? Like you're like early morning, that's you. How many of you in here are like night owls? Like 10 p.m., you come alive. How many of you are day people? Like from 10 a.m. to like 6 p.m., you're good. Any other time, like don't even, yeah. All right, you're in good company. Well, I've heard it said that if you eat an apple, that it has the same effect as drinking a cup of coffee. So that's normal, right? When was the last time you ran into somebody you hadn't seen in a while and you're like, man, it's been so long. We should get together. You want to grab an apple? That's right. The dad jokes are here this morning on Father's Day. You can expect lots more of that. But of course, we're talking about the other kind of mourning that's happening. And really, there's two parts to this beatitude. And so if you're taking notes, write this down. The first one is godly sorrow brings repentance. Godly sorrow brings repentance. See, godly sorrow is not repentance, but it brings or leads you to repentance. And really, repentance just means to change your mind, to turn, to go the opposite direction, right? And so how many of you are familiar with the pinball machine, right? Some of you that are younger are like, what, is that an app I can download? Is that a something? Probably. I didn't look. But yeah, pinball machine, right? So it's this game, and there's a ball on the right side, and there's a little lever, and you pull it back, and when you let go, it puts some force on that ball, and it comes up around, and if you're lucky, it hits some stuff. It never works that way for me. Like, it usually goes right in the middle and comes straight down, and at the bottom, there are these, like, flappers, and they actually will hit the ball, and that's how you make some points, right? And so when that ball's coming straight down, unless something hits it, it's going to keep going the same way, right? So that's just Newton's first law of motion, often called the law of inertia. Just says an object in motion will stay in motion unless acted upon by another force. And so that force is that flapper that hits it and sends it. Well, our life is that ball, right? We're headed in a direction, and unless that flapper or some force hits that ball, it's going to keep going in that same direction. And really, that force that we're talking about this morning is godly sorrow. So godly sorrow is that force that changes our life, changes our trajectory. And that's really important because of this. If you're taking notes, write this down. You'll never change your behavior without changing your thoughts. You'll never change your behavior without changing your thoughts. I can't tell you the number of times somebody's come up to me and said, Pastor Chris, I am stuck in fill in the blank. I'm stuck in this. And, you know, I've confessed it. I've had my quiet time. You know, I go to church. I serve on the dream team. I've even tried listening to K-Love, and like nothing seems to help, right? It's just, it's always the same. So here's my answer to that question. Godly sorrow is what produces that change. So my question back to you would be, is it possible that we haven't changed because we haven't had godly sorrow? And really, to look at it through this beatitude, is it possible that we aren't happy because we haven't mourned over our sin? We haven't mourned over our sin. Now you might be asking yourself, Pastor Chris, how do I mourn my sin? Like, do I write it down 100 times and fold it up in a piece of paper and tear it up and chew on it for a little bit and then swallow it? And no, that's weird. Don't do that. And why would you ask me that? That's strange. That's not how we mourn our sin. But really, here's an example. I think whether you're a parent or not, you'll be able to get it. But when our kids do something wrong, like we take them aside and we say, hey, here's what happened. Here's how you can do it better next time. And here's some of the consequences that are with it. And so I have a daughter. Her name is Harper. She's 2. She'll be 3 next month. She's awesome. And I have a confession. Sometimes she hits. Yeah. We don't condone it. Like, we're working on it, but to be fair, it's probably your kids too that she's hitting, right? And we apologize for that. But don't look at me like that. Like, your kids hit too, right? Like, just because she's a pastor's kid doesn't mean that, you know, she's perfect. I mean, I think she is, but. So we pick her up one day from our kids' church, and she has this furrowed eyebrow. You might see it on myself or Pastor Leslie, even though that we gave it to her in genetics. We call it the Harper face. It's just this. And, you know, she comes up and does that. And I say, okay, Harper, what's wrong? Well, Dad, I hit. Well, Harper, do we hit? No, we don't hit. Well, why don't we hit? Well, because I'm a kind girl and kind girls don't hit. Like, that's right, Harper. Well, what happens when we hit? Well, we hurt our friends. Well, Harper, do we want to hurt our friends? No, we don't want to hurt our friends. Harper, that's why we don't hit, right? And then we hug and, you know, the world's good again. And, you know, the next week I go to pick her up and she has the biggest smile on her face. And she runs up to me and goes, Daddy, I didn't hit today. And just the biggest smile and laughing. And I go, oh my goodness, that is so great, Harper. I'm so proud of you. Well, why was she happy? Well, she understood her sin. She mourned over it. And then she rejoiced in overcoming it. So more times than not, the amount of joy that we experience is actually proportionate to the amount of mourning that precedes it. So as a comparison, many of us have experienced the loss of a loved one, right? They've been promoted to heaven, and just the pain that comes with that. We're wired for eternity, and when somebody leaves, we feel it. We feel that loss. But then think about the day that you're going to see them again in heaven. The day that you see their face, their smiling face, the joy that you're going to have when you see them for the first time again. Well, why is that? Your comfort will be great because you experienced the mourning of their loss. And really, that's just a parallel to what Jesus is saying in this. He's saying, when you mourn over your sin, the joy of our salvation will be in full. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Repentance produces joy. Repentance produces joy. So we see godly sorrow leads to repentance, and then repentance produces joy. Psalm 32, 1 through 5 says, blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed or happy is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Right, so we know that Jesus forgives our sins, right? If we've given our life to him, he's forgiven our sins. But sometimes the damage that sin leaves behind is still around, right? We know Romans 6:23 says, for the wages or the earnings of sin are death. So sometimes it sticks around, but that repentance, that changing, that turning is what actually produces that joy in our life. It's the catalyst moment that changes the trajectory of your life. Amen? All right, well, let's welcome Pastor Landry back out to the stage to help wrap up this message.
Come on. Well, that was awesome. Come on, let's put our hands together again for Pastor Chris. Thank you very much. That was awesome. Hallelujah. In Psalms 51, there's a story, there's a writing by a man of God called, that we all know as David. David did something that was really bad. Committed a lot of sins. He committed adultery. He, you know, killed somebody, and it is something that was really horrible. And Psalm 51, it's a great passage of scripture that, in your own private time, your own quiet time, you can read it, the whole passage, and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you and speak to you. And see what God shows you through it all. I'm going to read a few of the verses here today. It says from verse 1, it says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. There's something about having a heart that is tender before the Almighty God. There is something about having a tender heart. We must never get to a point where you have a callous heart. You must never get to a point where you don't feel anything when you commit a sin or when you do something wrong. You need to get to a point where you can be by yourself when you've done something wrong, when nobody is there, you get by yourself and you take your Bible and you sit by yourself, even if tears are dripping down your eyes, and you say, God, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. I don't know what yours may be, I know what mine may be. Wash away all of my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin, for I know what I've done wrong. My sin may be before thee, always before me. Against you and only you have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. This is not in your notes, but in verse 10 of the same chapter, David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. That is a man that is mourning and showing godly sorrow over what he has done. Like, God, you can take everything I have away, but don't take your presence away from me. That's godly sorrow. That's somebody grieving over what he has done. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit with. And he kept on praying, and he kept on praying, and he kept on praying. Then look at verse 12. It says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. That is where we're coming to. Happy are those who mourn, they will be comforted. So Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. David said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Jesus said, happy are those who mourn, they will be comforted. Once you show that godly sorrow, the comfort will come. Write this down. The comfort comes after the mourning. The comfort comes after the mourning. When you think of the profound benefits of mourning, that's the changed thinking, that's the changed behavior, the heart full of comfort, the joy. The question you may be asking is, so how do I mourn in a way that produces all that? How do I mourn in a way that produces all that? You just have to have a heart that is malleable before him, that is soft and tender before him, that is willing to change before him. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I we attended a pastor's conference, and there was this guy. We were on a boat on a cruise it's a 2-hour cruise for a bunch of pastors eating, and so there was nowhere we could go. So everybody would take their food and go and sit down anywhere you can sit down, and we noticed there was this huge guy. It was a Caucasian guy with probably about 400 pounds with tattoos on his face, on his neck, and everywhere, and realized that he was the only one sitting at his table. Obviously, maybe nobody wanted to sit down with him. Kind of look out of place, and actually it was my wife that motioned that we should go and sit down with him. I'm like, you sure about that? But okay, no. So we did, and we sat down with him, and we throughout the day we struck up a conversation, and we realized that he was in prison. Now, this was a cruise of thousands of pastors. You'd be like, what is it doing on the cruise? And he was in prison, he got saved. And now he pastors a church somewhere in Arkansas with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people getting reformed out of prison and coming to know Christ. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. So, I don't know the details of all the things he did, but it looked like he may have done some really solid things. But godly sorrow, mourning changed all that, up to the point where the joy of salvation brought him to the point of him being sold out completely for Christ. And now his joy is to bring other people to see the Christ that he experienced and bring them into the body of Christ. You may be like, well, I'm not like Pastor Terry. I didn't do anything that bad. I've always been a good person. Jesus died for you the same way he died for him. Are you here this morning? See what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. The same way he died for me is the same way he died for you. If you're here in this building today, you haven't experienced the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to pray together today. And you take that first step to knowing him. If sin is like acting as a division between you and experiencing the joy of salvation, or it's been acting as a weight and not so you're not able to experience the fullness of what God has, today you're going to be able to leave those weights behind. Get rid of those sin today, so that on this Father's Day 2019, you're going to leave this room free in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for him. Hallelujah. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, ask the Holy Spirit to point out any attitude or any behavior that is sin, that is stopping you from experiencing his joy and his comfort. Let the Holy Spirit show you. Let him show you what it is. Let him show you what it is. And in your own words, while you're there, say to him, be like David. Be like David and say, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Take not your presence away from me. Don't take your presence away from me, God. Let me experience the joy of your salvation. And he will do it right there where you're sitting. And where we're doing that, maybe you're here in here today, you've never known Jesus Christ, and you want to say, I want to take the first step, Pastor. I want to know him for myself. I want to take the first step of letting him come into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. And I'm going to pray with you. We're going to lead you in a salvation prayer in the next few minutes. Just make up your mind that today is the day that you're going to take that first step. Today is the day you're going to take that first step and live for him for the rest of your life. If you're ready to do that, everyone, let's say this together. Heavenly Father, come on, let's say that together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for dying on the cross, for sending your son to die on the cross for me. Today, I declare that all my sins are forgiven by reason of Jesus Christ dying for me. I declare that I'm no longer for the devil and all his works. I am for you. I will live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. I declare today I am free, and I'm free to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for him today. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.